This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. My dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome to episode number 10 of our Ramadan Reminders. Allahul Musta'an. Why do I say Allahul Musta'an? Because episode number 10 means that we are on the 10th of Ramadan or about to finish the 10th of Ramadan. Which means, depending on when we started Ramadan, a third of Ramadan is about to come to a close. Allahul Musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless whatever remains of our month and accept our fasting, our prayers, our recitation of the Quran, our supplications, our remembrances of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the day and the night, our charity, our benevolence and selflessness, and all deeds done seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure alone. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our mistakes in this 10. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with an even greater next 10. May Allah make us even more diligent and even more active in the 10 that we are about to enter into. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. For today's episode, brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to take you to 11. And that is ayah number 11. Episode number 10, but ayah number 11 from Surah An-Nisa. And this ayah denotes another principle from the principles of life, as we've been discussing over the past episodes this Ramadan, as taught to us by our scholars of Islam. And in ayah number 11, I want you to zoom into the latter part of the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَدَرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا. Subhanallah. The Quran is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your parents and your children, you have no knowledge with regards to which one of them are going to be of greatest benefit to you. Now, I translated like this deliberately because I'm taking into consideration the end of the ayah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever-knowing and the most wise. So if He is the ever-all-knowing and the most wise, then yes, none of us will ever know which relative will be of the greatest benefit to us. Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, firstly, to add some context here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this ayah, this principle of life, amidst intricate, precise, specific laws related to Islamic inheritance. Right? And amidst all this instruction and seriousness, Allah develops our iman and our character. And this is the first lesson we need to take from this reality. The eloquence and effectiveness of the Quran in its instruction, in its timeless instruction, by the way. That even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us laws from His laws, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time is nurturing our Islam and nurturing our iman, right? Our submission and our belief, and nurturing our ihsan, our excellence, nurturing our character, teaching us important life lessons. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares these laws, right, which, by the way, go against the norms of Jahiliyyah, because during the time of Jahiliyyah, they would distribute the inheritance based on their own understandings. They would look at circumstances that they thought were of greatest benefit, and they would change the distributions based on every circumstance. It was a kind of bespoke kind of distribution of the inheritance based on the minds of men that were not really all that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals fixed laws and says the matter has been lifted off you. Your mind has no role in this particular program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees and then nurtures the soul, because the soul might start feeling, subhanallah, how come the daughter is getting this share, right? How come the daughter is changing the inheritance of the parents because there's a daughter, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixes this by saying, listen to the command of Allah, He knows best, you don't know who will benefit you from your relatives. And who will be of most benefit and who will be beneficial to you from them. both in this life and the next. Yes, brothers and sisters in Islam, both in this life and the next. Somebody might say, but, you know, ayat of inheritance is related to material wealth, and that is specific to this world. So Allah is telling us that, you know, you don't know from your relatives who will benefit you in this life. No, brothers and sisters in Islam. It's also, this ayah also applies to the hereafter. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah in the Quran about those who believe and their children follow them in belief. Allah says in the hereafter, Allah will gather all the members of this family at the highest point in Jannah. So the family can have a true Jannah experience. Because really Jannah is Jannah when we're together, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as long as all these members of the family, the parents and the children, make it to Jannah, we will raise the ranks of the lower members to the rank of the higher members, so they can have that Jannah experience. And you know, Jannah is Jannah when you're with your family. So if the daughters are at a higher level and the parents are at a lower level, Allah will raise the parents to the daughters. And vice versa. If the children are at the lower level and the parents are at the higher level, Allah will raise the children to the level of the parents. So this ayah applies as a rule of life, both in as a rule of life, the life of this world and the life of the hereafter. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we've come across many cases in our own times, and I'm sure you're listening to this and you nod your heads and you have real case studies in your own mind, whereby you've come across families where the daughters have been of greatest benefit to the parents. Especially in their old age. And sometimes vice versa. The sons have been of greatest benefit to the parents in their old age. You know, sometimes you have a situation where your first child is a girl, your second child is a girl, your third child is a girl. And then shaitan plays with you a little bit. You start thinking, subhanAllah, you know, who's going to carry my name and how's it going to be when I'm older? And subhanAllah, you don't know. You don't know who is going to be of greatest benefit to you. Allah knows it. You know, you want a son, but Allah knows it's the daughters that are going to benefit you in a greater way. And you grow up to live that experience. Right? And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result. This ayah applies to the scenario that I've just shared. And it applies to various scenarios. The lessons I want us to take from this particular episode is, number one, the eloquence and diligence of the Quran in its timeless instruction. That subhanAllah, it's so comprehensive. That whilst it's teaching us halal and haram, it doesn't close the door to the development of the self. And we need to take guidance from those brothers and sisters in Islam in how we raise our kids and those within our sphere of influence. Because, you know, the life of this world mandates that we're always giving instructions, especially when you are in positions of leadership. And not just your children. And that's why I highlighted everyone within your sphere of influence. They could be employees. They could be your students. You need to develop yourself in terms of how you speak to the ummah, based on how the Quran teaches us, and based on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, He told us do and don't do, but He developed our Islam and our Iman and our Ihsan. He developed all our entities at the same time. This is fundamentally important as a core lesson from the lessons of today. Number two, submissiveness to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed the all-knowing and the all-wise, and what He decides is the haqq, is the truth, and we should submit to it, irrespective of my mind and your mind. Because the reality is, brothers and sisters in Islam, if we were going to judge the truth based on our minds, then whose mind has the greatest right of being followed from amongst us? Right? So submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah tells us to, for indeed He is the all-knowing and the most wise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develop our paradigms, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with an inspired iman. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Until next time, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuhu.